5 minutes. I was trying to figure out this song. It was in my head. I couldn't remember who sang it.
There it is.
You don't want me anymore.
That's what Glendale has said to the... That's what the Coyotes are saying to Glendale. You don't want me anymore.
Yeah.
But you could argue that's what Glendale's saying to the Coyotes, because the Coyotes are the ones looking to go to Tempe. So before you break up with us, we're going to break up with you. That's basically what happened today. As we welcome you back into the Burns and Gambo show,
Steel
we're live from
Breeze,
the...
by the way, for anybody thinking, oh, I know that song. I know that song. Who sang it? Steel Breeze.
Okay.
That's the name of the group.
Steel Breeze.
You don't want me anymore.
Never heard of Steel
Breeze.
Oh, man,
Breeze. It took me 45 minutes for me to remember it, too.
The city of Glendale released a statement today with an increased focus on larger, more impactful events and uses of the city-owned arena. The city of Glendale has chosen to not renew the operating agreement for the Coyotes beyond the upcoming 2021-2022 season. The city has informed the Coyotes their upcoming season will be the last at Gila River Arena. The parties have been operating under a year-to-year agreement for several years. So basically, Glendale has told the Coyotes, and they're going to tell the NHL, and the management company is going to tell the NHL, too, they've got a year. They've got a year, and they're out. They're not going to be here anymore. We don't want you anymore. And as part of the bigger picture as to why, there was a story on the Athletics website that suggested an economic feasibility study that was done that has shown Glendale that if they replace 43 Coyote home games with just 20 concerts or other events
that draw at least 10,000 people,
they'll make the same money as they will have in the Coyotes there. And that's why, again, I'm going to read, with an increased focus on larger, more impactful events, the city of Glendale has chosen to not renew the operating agreement.
So basically, just, you know, get 10 regular concerts and have Dan Bickley's Whiskey's Quicker play there 10 times, pack that place, and I'll make the revenue back.
I've got 999 fans who would love to go see Whiskey's Quicker.
Absolutely.
So we could take like 1,000.
With Vince Murata guest singing.
Sure.
Party bus from the station over there.
We'll rock that place for Bickley.
You're going to rock that place.
Rock that place for Whiskey's Quicker.
So the question, okay, and we're still waiting on a statement from the Coyotes. You had tweeted out about 1:30 this afternoon that they would release a statement at some point. Hasn't happened yet. We haven't heard from them. There's been no statement from the NHL about
this. I think it's going to be a bland statement. They're not going to react very much to it. A lot's going to have to do. I think this request for proposal in Tempe, they in good faith, they have a request for proposal in Tempe to try to see if something can happen, you know, in Tempe. The number one question people are asked, where are they going to play? If Glendale sticks to this, and it's not a negotiation ploy to get more money, if Glendale sticks to this, the Coyotes a year from now don't have a place to play.
Right.
They've got 43 more nights to play in Glendale, and then they don't have an arena. They're not going to play at the Footprint Center. Okay, they're not going to play where the Suns play. It's not configured for hockey. It's not conducive to hockey. And I would imagine the Suns would have a say in it. I'm not expecting them to play there. They're not going to play at the new ASU arena, which isn't even fully built yet, but it'll be ready next year. But that only holds 5,000 people. I don't even think ASU would want them. So I'm not expecting them to play at ASU. The Veterans Memorial Coliseum is the one that makes the most sense to me. Now, you got to refurbish it. You got to put a lot of money into it to make it work. But that would be, you know, if you try... The first thing, it all comes down to Tempe. If the Tempe thing falls apart, it's over. It's done. If the Tempe thing falls apart, at that point, I think you've exhausted every option and you got to move.
Yeah, there's three options here, and this is actually part of our poll question on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. There's three options here, at least the best way we can see it. Maybe there's another one that we're not considering. Option number one is that this is all a ploy by the city of Glendale to get the Coyotes back to the negotiating table to do something longer term with them. The Coyotes are not going to want to do that because they're losing millions upon millions of dollars every single year playing in Glendale. They're not going to want to do that. But if Glendale were willing to bring them back to the table and negotiate, maybe they just stay there. Option number two, the Tempe thing happens, but it's not going to happen for 3 or 4 years, like you say, for that building to be built.
There's not a shovel in the ground. There's not an agreement right now. I mean, the Yotes season starts in 6 weeks, right?
They're still going to play in Glendale this season, but even a year from now, they would...
There'll be no building.
There'll be no build.
So it's 4 years. It's 4 years away.
So they'd have to find somewhere temporary to play, and where that is, God only knows. And then option number three is to leave the Valley and go somewhere else, which has always been a rumor, which has always been something that Alex Morello has always said, we don't want to do. That's not an option. We want to stay.
They do not want to leave.
The markets that have always been thrown out are, you know, another city in Canada, maybe Quebec City, maybe Houston, maybe Kansas City, maybe Austin,
yes.
Et cetera, et cetera. Those are all the markets that are typically mentioned. I saw a tweet about this and initial Coyotes options. Veterans Memorial Coliseum. But the problem with that is
that's your top option.
They got the state fair there every year.
Well, you could not play. You could go on a long road trip.
Yeah, like a month.
I mean, you go on a long road trip.
A long road trip.
I mean, yeah, that's you could do that. The Spurs take a long road trip while they have that rodeo in San Antonio.
We looked it up. It's about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah.
They take off for a long road trip. The Coyotes could do a long road trip in October. It'd suck. But, you know, you could do that while they have that state fair there. I think that your only option is the Coliseum if you don't negotiate with Glendale to give them more money. But it doesn't seem like Glendale is in. It doesn't seem like Glendale wants to negotiate. They want them out. We just want you out. We don't want to do we don't want to negotiate.
Yeah.
We just don't want you here anymore.
Our buddy Joey Arteague, I favorited this from about a half hour ago. He tweeted out some different options as well. The Tucson Convention Center, Chase Field, Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
How the hell are they going to play at Chase Field?
I don't know.
How would you play at Chase Field?
You'd have to.
It would have to be like a Winter Classic set
every
up.
Single game.
Yeah.
Single game.
I don't think that's actually feasible.
I don't think it is either.
But there are hockey games played in baseball stadiums.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen.
It's not. No,
that's
it's not.
Never going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
Tucson, are they going to go to Tucson?
That's where the Roadrunners play. That's where the AHL is.
Do you happen to know, Sarah, how big of a building that is?
Ooh, I would have to look up the capacity, but...
Is it the same building that's been there?
For a long time.
I used to see hockey games when I was a student at
the University
of Arizona.
Yeah, that's where the Ice Cats play.
Long time ago.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that building seats about 8,000 to 9,000.
Yeah,
I'm going to guess.
Google says 9,275, just over 9,000.
Just over 9,000.
Okay, but the thing is, like, hockey is unlike any other sport in which it's very dependent on ticket sales.
Yes.
Okay, because they don't have the TV revenue of the other sports. They got to charge you a lot of money for seats. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have the seats, like, I don't know, like, I don't know how you make it work. Like, if you don't have the seating to, like, and it's not like, okay, it's not like you got to go play there for a year, right? You could suck it up for a year, lose a bunch of money. You might have to suck it up. But like this, it's like, everything hinges on Tempe. And if Tempe can make something work, then I think that they're going to be saved. And if they can't, I mean, remember when Wayne Gretzky came in on his white horse and saved the Coyotes from moving? It's true. Wayne Gretzky rode in on his white horse and saved the Coyotes from moving. If Tempe doesn't make it work, and I don't know, if you're Tempe, are you starting to get cold feet now?
Yeah, are you?
If you're Tempe and you're hearing all of this stuff, you're like, man,
is this something you really want to do?
Are you going to have doubts?
How much right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Do I really want to get in bed Morello wants to stay.
Yeah.
They want to stay. They don't want to leave. They're committed to Arizona. They are. But a lot of it hinges on Tempe. If Tempe can't work, then I think they're out of here. If Tempe can work, the question really comes, like, they're going to have to play at least two seasons.
At least.
Somewhere else.
In a temp building.
At least.
Yes.
And it might be three.
Yes.
But it's definitely not one. There's definitely no way they're playing one season. They're going to have to go somewhere for at least 2 years.
I've got to think it would be the Coliseum. I just can't think of any other building. I mean, unless they want to go play in Tucson for 3 years and then come back when the building's done, I would have to think Veterans Memorial Coliseum. And again, we're waiting on a statement from the Coyotes. We're waiting on a statement from the league. It might be bland as it might be. We are waiting on it. When we come back, he was once one of the most feared and dominating defenders in the NFL. He's trying to get back to that spot. J.J. Watt, how is he getting back to that spot? And how will the Cardinals help him get there? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Cardinals preseason game number 2 tomorrow afternoon, State Farm Stadium, 5 o'clock kickoff. You'll hear it here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. You will not see J.J. Watt in that game. In fact, J.J. Watt, ever since hurting his hamstring in the run, the camp opening, you know, conditioning run. We haven't heard a whole lot out of J.J. Watt because they're obviously being very, very careful with that hamstring. In fact, Cliff Kingsbury was asked this past Sunday if he's being extra cautious with their star crown jewel acquisition from the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, a guy like that who's played as many snaps and the type of professional he is, we know what he can do, whether he takes a snap in practice or preseason games. I mean, we'll get him to week one, allow him to practice that week if that's what it takes, and go from there.
Sounds like we're not going to see any of J.J. Watt at all until week one of the season.
No, I mean, this is all about J.J. Watt at his age. He's 32 years old. This is all about, listen, forget about, you do what you have to do to get yourself ready to play on Sundays.
Yeah.
And we'll follow your lead. And whatever you decide that is best for you, we'll follow that. I mean, this is a three-time defensive player of the year. Okay? Three-time defensive player of the year. He's one of the truly great players that's ever played this position. He's going to the Hall of Fame. So, he played 91% of Texas's defensive snaps last year.
Mm-hmm.
91%. Because they had to play him. They didn't have anybody else. That's a lot. So, now he might be worn out a little bit from last year, but either way, like, as long as he lines up on Sunday, I'm going to trust him to make sure he does whatever he needs to do that's necessary to get him to play on Sunday.
There was a great story, I thought, about J.J. Watt today on NFL.com from Jim Trotter. I think he was at camp the last couple of days just talking to guys about J.J. Watt, talking to J.J. about what he's doing differently. And you mentioned the snap count a second ago. In the story, he quotes defensive line coach Brenston Buckner, who is working to convince J.J. Watt that the snap count needs to be in the 65% range and not the 90% range. Quote, I've told him, you've got capable young guys, so let them eat some of the snaps. It's super hard for him because he's always had to be the man. But I've told him he's got to be able to trust me that every guy in our room is going to have a role. And one might be for a guy to take 10 snaps off of J.J. in the run game. I had the same talk with Jason Pierre-Paul, even Calais Campbell in their primes. My goal is to make you just as productive with the least amount of work on your body. Now you can play 15 years rather than be broken down at the end of year 12.
It makes sense, right? It makes sense. You limit the, I mean, we've had older aging stars here in other sports. We've had older aging stars here in this sport. We've had, think about Dwight Freeney was here and John Abraham and Terrell Suggs. And there were guys that were older guys. You try to limit them. Now, J.J. Watt, I think that he is ahead of those guys where I think you can play him a lot of snaps. But if you're looking at him like, hey, we want you to be here for a little while. Like, he's not the rental car that Kenyon Drake was. Let's put it that way. If you had J.J. Watt on a one-year deal, you might be able to look, we're going to run this thing into the ground and he's going to retire and go away.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not looking at it like he's a rental car. They're looking at it like they're buying a certified pre-owned vehicle. Okay?
Or
we're gonna make sure we do the 68-point inspection on this.
Or like a lease where you know you're going to get charged extra if you go
over the mileage.
Yeah, the mile limit for each year. So, okay, we've got to keep this thing under 15,000 miles because if we don't, we're going to get charged an arm and a leg for this thing. So let's make sure we keep J.J. Watt under 15,000 miles this year.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the lease charges just go through the roof on this deal. They're trying to extend the life of this car as much as they possibly can. And here's Brenston Buckner. Now, is he going to be successful in convincing J.J. Watt to do that? How much say does J.J. Watt have in this? I mean, maybe J.J. Watt's like, nope, 90%. I want to play 90% of the snaps, and that's that. Does he have a voice in the room when it comes to the snap percentages and how much he plays?
Of course, he's a Hall of Famer, a three-time Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
He's going to have a say in that stuff. Now, listen. There's also, you know, you can't go into it and have this, like, this is how we're going to do it, because it never works out that way, okay? You might be in a really close game, and J.J. Watt's playing well, and you just got to ride him.
Yeah.
And it might be a game that you could say, look, almost like a basketball player. If you're down by 22 in the fourth quarter, sit the guy. Don't play him. If you're blowing somebody out or you're getting blown out, don't play J.J. Watt in the fourth quarter. You know what? You're going to sit the fourth quarter out, and that's going to take a lot of snaps off of you. Think about it. I mean, if a team goes on a 10-play drive and then a 7-play drive and an 8-play drive, you've now taken 25 snaps off of J.J. Watt. So you can't go in with this idea like, this is what we're going to do, because that plan never works.
Yeah.
It's impossible to go in with a plan and make that and execute that plan, because things change. You could be in a real tough battle against a division rival and like, oh, we got to take J.J. Watt out here. Oh, because we're trying to preserve him. No, he's got to play, man. He's playing well. Keep him out there.
Yeah, it's a good point.
He's got a good matchup.
And sometimes it's just you have to play it quarter to quarter. Game to game, you have to play it by ear. It's a good point. Jim Trotter also brings up something really interesting in this story about how the Houston Texans over the last couple of years kind of changed his, JJ's, approach to training, and how for the last 2 years he stopped spending off seasons with his personal trainer and followed much more closely what the Texans wanted him to do with his training. It was much more conservative than he was used to doing. And he thinks that conservative nature of the Texans' plan robbed him a lot of the fearlessness that made him great. Because the training plan was just so, let's be careful, let's be cautious, don't do too much, let's not, you know, don't want to hurt yourself. And for 2 years, he was doing it that way, and he finally decided, I need to go back to my old ways. So he rehired his old personal trainer, quote, I don't want to go out on the field and be half the player I'm supposed to be or be a conservative version of what I'm supposed to be. I need to be who I'm supposed to be, and if I can't, I can't. So now he's trying to rebuild himself not only physically but psychologically to go, okay, that conservative version of me, get rid of that guy. The fearless version of me, I need to train my body and my mind to be that fearless guy that I was before the last 2 years. And if something happens, something happens. So be it. C'est la vie. We go on. I need to train myself like I don't care about the consequences. I'm going for it.
Just got a message from the Coyotes. I got a text message. They will release a statement at 3:45 today.
Okay.
So there will be a statement released by the Arizona Coyotes in regards to Glendale's announcement. That statement will be released in about 20 minutes.
We will bring it to you when that happens. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, if the Phoenix Suns wait until the season to fill their final roster spot, what kind of options might be out there? We'll tell you about them next on the Burns and Gambo show.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station in the Arizona Sports app. Giveathon on the Burns and Gambo show.
And it's presented by your Valley Hyundai dealers. It's been a great week of stories, a great week of a community coming together and raising money for, I mean, truly one of its crown jewels here, the Phoenix Children's Hospital right there on the 51. Gambo and I drive by it every single day. They do such amazing work there. $2.7 million per day is roughly what it costs to run Phoenix Children's Hospital. And yet it is such a treasure to have it in our backyard when you're talking about one of the best children's hospitals in the country, if not the world. It's something we have to work to protect, man. It's something we have to work hard to maintain, because whether you've had kids who have gone there or not, chances are you know somebody who has had kids who have gone there, and you understand the great work that they do every single day at Phoenix Children's Hospital to help kids and parents get through their ailments.
Look, to say that they rely on the support of generous people in the community would be an understatement. They desperately need the support of people. I mean, it costs a lot of money to run a hospital every day. I mean, they're committed to having the best doctors, the best nurses, the best equipment, so they can take care of these children that are coming in with cancer, with brain injuries, with heart defects. They've got an emergency room. The donations go a long way towards keeping this hospital as one of the best children's hospitals in the entire country. I mean, they've got a center for cancer and blood disorders. They've got an emergency department. They've got a level one trauma center, a heart center, a neonatal division, a pediatric orthopedics division. They make sure that if your child needs help, that they can handle that child's needs.
You can donate right now by calling 602-933-4567, 602-933-4567. So many people have gotten involved. Businesses have gotten involved, and that includes this check presentation from Cobblestone Auto Spa.
Hi, my name's Tuck Benton with Amanda Clemens from Cobblestone Auto Spa. We are super excited and happy to be part of this year's Giveathon. We have been a proud partner with Phoenix Children's Hospital for over 7 years now.
We want to thank our amazing customers for helping to make a donation at our registers, which is why we're here today presenting this $10,000 check. We encourage the community to call the phone bank at 602-933-4567 and support this year's Giveathon.
Fantastic.
On behalf of Cobblestone Auto Spa, thank you, Phoenix Children's, for being there for our community. Our kids can't wait, and you are there to provide hope and strength.
Fantastic. $10,000.
Thank you to the Cobblestone Auto Spa. That is a great donation. Yeah. Thank you so much.
We do appreciate, absolutely appreciate that. Thank you so much. And everybody who donated at Cobblestone Auto Spa, we thank you as well. It's stories like Brooke's story that keep us coming back to Phoenix Children's Hospital. A grim diagnosis at only 5 weeks old forecasted a limited life for Brooke as a forever baby, always developmentally an infant. Now 11 years old, she still requires total care. She can't walk or talk. Learn more about Brookie the Brave and how, thanks to her care team at Phoenix Children's, she has continued to fight the odds and is progressing in her own little way. This is Brooke's story.
Hi, my name is Brittany Miller from Queen Creek, Arizona, and this is my daughter Brooke Miller's journey with Phoenix Children's Hospital. When she was born, we had no idea that there was anything medically wrong with her. Typical little baby girl. And almost 12 years ago now, she was starting to have these weird movements. I called the after-hours line at our pediatrician, and they immediately told me to rush her to Phoenix Children's. Soon, we started to build a medical team, and Child Life embraced our family. The nurses were so compassionate. Of course, the physicians were incredibly medically talented, but they also treated the family. It wasn't just treating our little daughter, Brooke. The Happy Hand Hospital, that's what my four-year-old and two-year-old called it, and they just knew it was a happy place. Even though it was a place where their sister was struggling, Phoenix Children's became our second home.
When I think about the things that we've been through, I know just one thing is true. Life is better with you. Some days are better than other days, but these days, life is better with you. Life is better.
She received her diagnosis very quickly, and with that came early intervention and seizure medications. Skilled neurologists who knew what medicines to try and fought for us and advocated with her insurance to pay for some of these more expensive ones that really work for her. Bacardi syndrome basically is a genetic disorder. They don't know the cause of it, but her brain didn't form correctly. A lot of children with her diagnosis don't make it past the first year. But in true Brookie fashion, she kept, you know, persevering, and she made it for that first year. She's alive because of the care she's received at the hospital, and our family is happy. And I know a lot of that has to do with the support and guidance we've received. It sounds kind of terrible, but you always think, like, it happens on TV or it happens to other people. It would never happen to us. When we found out Brooke's diagnosis and realized the care that she was going to need, I was so thankful to have such an outstanding children's hospital in our state. You never know in your life whether you're going to be that family that needs assistance. And if you are, you know, PCH is here. Are there more good days than bad days? Yes, there are more good days. Brooke is 99.9% of the time a happy, spunky, silly little girl. She's present and happy, and there's light in her eyes. If I was given a diagnosis like this and had to face a life of living on the sidelines and knowing my life was going to be limited and having, you know, severe epilepsy and countless hospitalizations, I don't know if I could have such a happy disposition, but she does. She is brave, and she has taught us more in her 11 years than I've learned in my 41, and I am eternally grateful for the experience of raising her and being her mother. Being a medical mom or a special needs mom, it's the most wonderful club I never, ever, ever wanted to be a part of, but now I can't live without it.
Life is better.
What a story.
That's a great story about Brookie, 11 years old, and the things that family is going through. And as she said, being a special needs mom, and there's a lot of you out there that have special needs children. You know what that family is going through. You know the challenges and the rewards that come with being the parents of a special needs child. And so that's why in honor of Brookie, I really hope everybody picks up the phone and calls and makes a donation so Phoenix Children's Hospital can continue to give the best care possible to children like Brookie.
That's really well said, especially about being a parent of a special needs child. So in honor of that, here's your Desert Financial phone bank number, 602-933-4567. And as we started the segment thanking Cobblestone Auto Spa, we're going to end the segment thanking them because they are sponsoring our match right now. Cobblestone Auto Spa is matching your donations when you call the Desert Financial Phone Bank, 602-933-4567. We're looking for five Burns and Gambo listeners, hopefully more, but at least five Burns and Gambo listeners who choose to be a champion of hope right now. That means a $20 monthly donation, and that means a teddy bear in your name going upstairs to one of the kids at Phoenix Children's Hospital. And your donation right now is being matched dollar for dollar up to $5,000 by Cobblestone Auto Spa. Again, the number 602-933-4567 as part of the Desert Financial Phone Bank. Ruben in Surprise, Nick in Buckeye, Loretta in Sun City, Karina in Mesa have all called up to be champions of hope, which means we put another teddy bear on the train, Teddy Bear Express. They're standing by at the hospital. We have volunteers there, and every time somebody calls and becomes a champion of hope, we put a teddy bear on the Teddy Bear Express. We take it upstairs to one of those fighting tough kids at Phoenix Children's Hospital.
For any of those of you who have been touched by a special needs child, if you heard that story and it resonates with you, please call the phone bank at 602-933-4567. Any donation or become a champion of hope. $20 a month to become a champion of hope.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, you keep calling because that match will continue through the commercial break. We circle back to our top story of the day. The Coyotes expected to release a statement basically any minute now in response to the city of Glendale saying that this will be their final year at Gila River. We'll give you that statement, our reactions to it next on the Burns and Gambo show. So our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo show, the city of Glendale released a statement today in which they basically told the Coyotes they have a year left in their building and then the lease is not going to be renewed. Quote, with an increased focus on larger, more impactful events and uses of the city-owned arena, the city of Glendale has chosen to not renew the operating agreement with the Arizona Coyotes beyond the coming season. The city has informed the Coyotes the upcoming season will be the team's last in Gila River Arena. There was, Gambo had mentioned about 20 minutes ago that a statement was going to be released by the Coyotes at 3:45, and it was released by the Coyotes at 3:45.
This you is want to read it to them?
Yeah,
it's,
I got
it. It's short enough you could read it to everybody.
I've got it right here. Javier A. Gutierrez, President and CEO, Arizona Coyotes, quote, "We are disappointed by today's unilateral decision by the city of Glendale to break off negotiations on a multi-year lease extension agreement. We are hopeful that they will reconsider a move that would primarily damage the small businesses and hardworking citizens of Glendale. We remain open to restarting good faith negotiations with the city. Most importantly, the Coyotes are 100% committed to finding a long-term arena solution here in Arizona, and nothing will shake our determination to do what is right for our organization, residents of the entire valley, and most important, our fans."
Yes, that line right there. "We are hopeful that they will reconsider a move that would primarily damage the small businesses and hardworking citizens of Glendale." So in a certain way, putting it back on Glendale, like, hey, you know, it's, you think you're just hurting us. It's not hurting us. There's a lot of small businesses that are going to be affected by not having 43 games here. I mean, think about the restaurants, think about the hotels, think about all of those small businesses that are not going to have the games there for the time. Now, eventually, their plan is to move out anyway, right? So if I'm Glendale, I can say, well, your plan is to leave those small businesses behind.
It's such a good point. I mean, you're sitting here crying a river over these small business owners that you know, the Glendale is kind of harming by telling the Coyotes move out a year from now. But if the Coyotes plan, if they follow through with their plan, they're going to leave those small business owners high and dry 3 years from now,
yeah.
4 years from now?
Whenever it is, whenever it would be. I mean, so, you know, so it works two ways, right? If I'm Glendale, I'm going to say, but you're going to do the same. You're telling me that I'm going to hurt small businesses, but what are you doing with you leaving? You're going to do the same thing, you know? So I think that that's how, you know, Glendale could respond to it. There is nothing said about where they would play if an agreement cannot be reached. It just says that they're hopeful they'll reconsider. What does reconsider mean? Negotiate a deal that will allow us to stay here until they have a permanent arena solution. And they do mention that they are committed to finding a long-term arena solution. They did file the RFP with Tempe, the good faith, you know, the RFP, request for proposal. Is that what it is?
Request for proposal.
And because they have intentions, there's 40 acres in Tempe. They'd like to get those 40 acres. They'd like to develop those 40 acres and put, you know, maybe hotels on it or restaurants or office spaces and the arena and everything in it. But that's a couple billion dollar project. And that would be funded mostly all by Alex Morello.
Yeah.
And so whether that can happen or not, I don't know. Would he have to sell off some of his assets, like his hotels and casinos, in order to make that work? Possibly.
Yeah.
He might have to do that. Is he committed to doing that? Look, I know he's committed to keeping the team here, and they'll exhaust every option. But it is absolutely fair to find out what happens if you have exhausted every option and you don't have anywhere to play.
There's two problems here, as you see it from the Coyote standpoint. There's a short-term problem, and there's a long-term problem. The long-term problem is, will the Tempe thing happen? I mean, the RFP that you're talking about, will Tempe spend the money to do what they need to do to the land? And will Alex Morello be able to have enough money to build what he wants to build on that land? That's the long-term problem, and we don't know the answer to that. The short-term problem is if Glendale follows through, doesn't go back to the negotiating table, as they say they're not going to, according to a story I've got in front of me from The Athletic, the short-term problem then becomes, where do the Coyotes play after this upcoming season until they can get the Tempe situation taken care of?
It's not going to be at the Footprint Center. It's not going to be where the Suns play. It's very unlikely it would be where ASU plays. They only have a 5,000-seat arena.
And it's not even done yet.
The only option that I can come up with is the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Now, you have to put a lot of money into it.
Yep.
And to make it work, because remember, this isn't just a, hey, we need a place to play for a year.
This is hey, we need a place to play for
two to three years.
Yeah.
Okay, you're thinking about, okay, an arena in Tempe. Okay, the Coyote season is going to start very soon, okay? There's not a shovel in the ground. There's not plans. There's not, I don't even, an architect hasn't even done a design yet.
Nope.
Tempe hasn't approved it. They're nowhere close.
You're talking 3 to 4 years.
Yes.
Best case scenario from right now before there's a building in Tempe.
You cannot have a build, you would not have an arena built 2 years from right now. Wouldn't happen.
Nope. And so 1 year of that, they're going to play in Glendale next year. But if Glendale really follows through with this and this is their last year there, then that is at least 2 years, maybe closer to three, that they would have to find a temporary home to play in if Glendale says no.
And that's going to be hard.
Yeah,
that's going to be hard.
There aren't
good options.
Nope.
There are not good options. And again, you know, the Suns Arena, the Footprint Center, it's not designed for hockey. It's not feasible for hockey, and I doubt they would even want them there.
They
would want them there.
Giant $200 million renovation there. They didn't make it with the idea of putting hockey in there. You know?
When the Coyotes left the America West Arena, was it America West Arena
I
remember Jerry Colangelo telling me that he was happy they were out of there because they beat the hell out of the building. And it just that sport beats the hell out of a building. So he was kind of happy that, you know, that they ended up getting their own place because their building was taking a beating with, you know, think about all the trucks and the Zambonis and the equipment and everything just coming in. It wears and tears on a building.
The city manager of Glendale, Kevin Phelps, is quoted in a story I'm reading from the Athletic website when asked about whether this is just a negotiating ploy to get the Coyotes back to the table for a longer-term agreement. He said, quote, "We've made our decision. There's not a scenario I can envision today that would have us open that door back up," close quote. So Glendale's playing this, whether they're bluffing or not is up to you, But they're kind of playing this as, nope, we've decided. They've got a year, and that's that.
It doesn't sound like a bluff.
No, it doesn't.
I don't think you come out and you say, I think that they just want him gone. It's been a headache. It's been a disaster. They want to take control of the situation, not be controlled by it. Now, again, negotiations, I mean, maybe you could do something to negotiate. I think if you're the Coyotes, you got to try. You got to try because
you don't have any other options.
Your options are bad. I mean, option to stay in Glendale's bad.
Yeah.
That's a bad option. The other options are worse.
What Glendale is saying, and this is, again, according to The Athletic, recently the city requested a study, an economic impact study. And they concluded that if you took out 43 Coyote home games and replaced them with 20 concerts or other large events with an attendance of at least 10,000 or more, the sales tax revenues would be equal. So what Glendale is betting is that if we give the Coyotes the boot, can we fill those days with 20 concerts or events that will draw at least 10,000 people to the building? Because if we do, we will make the exact same amount of money with them or without them, as long as we can bring in 20 events.
Yeah, and I don't even think they care about that. I just think that they want to control the narrative in this breakup. The breakup's coming. I think they want to take control of it. They're just justifying it to people like, hey, the revenue, we're not going to lose the revenue. We're going to make it up. Here's why.
Yeah.
All we need is 20 concerts. It'll be the same revenue.
But to your point, it's hey, you're going to do it to us in a few years if this Tempe thing happens. We're just doing it to you first. That's what's happening. You're going to do it to us when you take the Tempe gig. So we're just doing it to you first, and you've got a year, and you've got to get out. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, more on this, as both the Coyotes and the city of Glendale have issued statements about the status of the team playing at Gila River Arena. What about the NHL? What does Commissioner Gary Bettman have to say on the subject? You'll hear next on the Burns and Gambo show.